on the Monday, Victory Monday edition. Mr. Elvin, I'm Alex Groff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That Cell Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Couple technical difficulties, a coffee spillage, but here we go as Josh walks in right on time, 12:37 on this Monday. Good to be with you. Thanks for sticking with us as we will react to all things Packers-Vikings as the Packers get a victory, yeah, big-time victory yesterday at Lambeau Field in really convincing fashion. Defensively dominant, offensively just did what they had to do to get a victory. And ultimately get ready for a game now 3 days from today in Detroit against the Lions, where if you win Thursday, you could effectively, with only a couple games to go, say, hey, Detroit, this is not going to be your year, and make it mostly a two-team race between Green Bay and Chicago. So lots to be determined this week. But as for yesterday, really, really impressive fashion for Green Bay. Jordan Love was not asked to do a whole lot as he continues to deal with that shoulder injury. You know, the only big time change was he only handed the football off with his right hand, but they didn't ask him to throw a ton, only threw the ball, I think it was, 24 times? Emmanuel Wilson ran the football 28 times. Take the air out of the football is how Matt LaFleur put it after the game. So a very convincing win for the Packers over the Vikings, a final of 23-6. Josh DiMaggio is here in the Gruber Law Offices studios in downtown Milwaukee. Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Stroff.
How are we doing?
Good. Do you have a question to ask me, or?
I asked you, how you doing?
Okay, good. Yep, good.
It's good. Yep. How do you feel about the Packers win?
Boring, unexciting. Lucky. I think there's no reason to change your opinion on the Packers, positive or negative, if you have it. We watched one of the worst ever starting quarterbacks try and function and run an offense, and that was the result. It becomes more and more apparent every single week that the Packers are far better and the defense is far better when they're playing from a lead and forcing teams to throw the ball. It took way too long for the Packers to try and get a lead. They had opportunities. They wanted to take the air out of the ball, like Matt LaFleur said, and he said he had a hard time not being more aggressive. No, you didn't. You were as happy as could be. That was your favorite game plan of the year, I'm sure, because you kept the ball. You played the possession game. Like, I understand doing that with a significant lead, but that was the approach the entire game. So, save for one of the most boneheaded mistakes from a special teamer, that game has a lot different of a context, because if they don't go down by so much and they're able to continue running the ball, which they were successful at, that game doesn't end up going the way it is. The reason they got the turnovers was because you forced J.J. McCarthy to actually throw the ball and try and open up the offense, yep, which he was clearly flatly incapable of.
Well, I have an update coming from just right now from Adam Schefter regarding the Vikings quarterback.
Still starting?
No, in concussion protocol. Reported symptoms on the flight home last night from Green Bay. There was no specific
hit. Probably
the
Micah Parsons one.
In which has been identified that led to the concussion, but he reported symptoms on the flight home last night, now in concussion protocol.
So there was one play I remember, and I didn't tweet about it, but he hits his back when he was running to the left side, the far sideline, mm-hmm, from the camera.
Yeah.
And his arms flopped backwards. He laid there for a second, but then sort of popped right up. And that was the one that made me think, wait, what was that?
Sure. McCarthy finishes 12 of 19.
I was actually surprised he didn't get pulled off the field for that, because anytime a quarterback does anything,
right,
like a shake of the head or anything, they're getting tested.
Yeah, they're at least going in the tent,
yes,
typically. So that one's interesting the day after, according to Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings. But McCarthy finishes that game 12 of 19, 87 yards.
Yeah, he had 52 net passing yards when, yep, you subtract the sacks. Yep.
Two interceptions, was sacked five times for a total of 35 yards. His QBR was 17.9.
Yeah.
His quarterback rating was 34.2.
He would have had a better day had he dropped back and thrown every pass into the dirt instead of doing what he did.
According to those statistics, QBR and quarterback rating. Right. Yeah. It was an awful game for him. He's not a good quarterback. And the Packers made him look like not a good quarterback.
I also think it's important to stress, because I had the feeling while watching it, and now the numbers are there to justify it. Since 2000, an EPA per drop back out of the 852 quarterbacks to start and qualify for the correct amount of passes, the only person worse ever is Jamarcus Russell. So you may remember Nathan Peterman.
Wow.
You may remember Josh Rosen. You may remember Zach Wilson. Like, all those guys that were horrific, those are all guys now that were better to this point in their careers than him.
I want you to understand how bad of a mark that is.
Yes.
Right? The only person worse.
He didn't care about football. He was drinking and doing drugs instead. J.J. McCarthy isn't doing that and is just slightly better than him.
You should have seen Will's face when you said that.
Yeah, we know that Jamarcus Russell, sir. He had some personal struggles.
J.J. McCarthy is probably doing like the opposite of drugs, too. He's a big like meditation person.
Yes. He's doing all the things you're supposed to be doing for a quarterback, and I'm sure of it, especially with that head coach there. And he managed to be just better than the one guy who had issues, personal issues.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
Not a good sign.
No. It's terrible. And he has the coach, the weapons, and the surrounding system to make you believe he should at least be able to be somewhat serviceable. Because even a below-average quarterback in with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, Aaron Jones, and Kevin O'Connell, you figure you'd be able to get something going on offense. And he couldn't. That's how bad he was.
He was really bad. They tried to pound the rock a little bit until they went down big.
Yeah, and I mean, they had success.
Yeah, yeah. They averaged just about 5 yards a carry between Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones. But bad.
What I don't, and I'm afraid of, and I've heard Wildin Tausch say, they're going to change their approach against the Lions. They're going to be a different.
They have to.
Well, yeah, of course, to a degree. But Matt LaFleur clearly thinks the Packers' best way to win football is control the ball, control the clock, long sustained drives, and not being explosive.
And rely on the defense, right? I mean, I think this is something you called out weeks and weeks ago, which is the Packers are a defensive first team.
Yes.
That's the identity they have to use this year because their defense has the ability to be dominant like we saw yesterday. And obviously you get a special teams break that leads to 7 points
for
you.
The most important part of that is getting out to leads and having leads.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
yes,
letting those guys get after the pass rusher is going to Jeff Hafley, those guys, the simulated pressure, all he's doing.
Okay, I hear you on that.
That is going to be the best case for winning. Like, deferring the ball, mistake. Don't do that. Receive the ball, score points. Try and score every drive on. Don't run it so heavily.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons was awesome. Devontae Wyatt was really good. He had a pair of sacks. Isaiah McDuffie
Rashawn and Warren Gary Brinson showed up.
Combined for a sack. Did he?
I mean,
he had what, three tackles?
I think he has a sack fumble. I don't think that was a throw. I don't think the ball was in J.J. McCarthy's hand when it moved forward.
Two quarterback hits for Rashawn. So yes, he did show up.
Did you forget about the Isaiah McDuffie play?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you had to have.
Well, in my defense, first half of the game I was driving, so that was radio only. And then second half I was seated, but
that wasn't the second half.
I know it was. But also, so just to give you a breakdown of my weekend, so my girlfriend's sister got married on Saturday, so we were with them on Sunday. So like we were still yapping and packing the night, but I was still locked in. Haven't watched the game back yet. I think I'm still going to do that just because I want to see some of the things on the offensive line, which I know we'll get to in Stock Up, Stock Down. But I got a text from our buddy John Anderson, who obviously does Green Bay Game Day with me. You'll hear him Thursday morning beginning at 9 a.m. ahead of Packers-Lions with myself, Gabe Neitzel, and Brian Belaga. And he texted me as I was still driving. He said, well, it looks like Jordan Morgan has been told to sit on the bench and stay there. And I said, uh-oh. And that seemingly was the case as Anthony Belton played the rest of the game at right guard.
Yeah, I mean, this is very simple to me. Anthony Belton's a guard that they wanted to play tackle, and Jordan Morgan's a tackle that they wanted to play guard. And that's been the case for the better part of the year. And as I've been saying for the past 2 weeks, The Packers learned the lesson the hard way.
Oh, they've got some huge size now inside with Belton playing right guard.
I mean, just looking at Belton and looking at his tape from college and the way he played.
He was a tackle in college, though, right? Yeah.
But the way he plays is like a guard. He's a move bodies, like ferocious type guy. Zach Tom and our tackles, that's not the style of play they are.
Right.
They're more finesse. They're more slender framed. They're going to be able to handle, like, Belton's a guard. It's just what it is. And there's nothing wrong with a guy being better at one position on the offensive line. You guys talked to Brian Bulaga about it.
Yeah.
He, not a great guard.
No.
He, great, all-time great tackle. He said, hey, that just wasn't for me in there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it the way I wanted. The Packers have had a lot of guys that can do both. But some guys just have a position, and that's where they play the best.
Hawkins chimes in. Strofe tells a personal story, and immediately Josh picks up his phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've had some technical issues. I was receiving text messages about trying to help.
Not much you could do right now, I don't think. But nope. Yeah, I think we're through the woods on that. Will, how's it going back there? Everything okay? We off and running?
No. Are we
doing a show that people can watch and listen to?
We are live. I know because Joseph said, Strofe, did you get any haircut compliments at the wedding? So
No, I did not.
Did your haircut become a topic of conversation at all?
No. I was at a family wedding with now the eldest grandchild who's not married. What do you think the topic of conversation was?
The eldest? Oh. Well, that's where you say, you guys should see my haircut. That's where you gotta entertain.
You gotta take some bullets.
I was taking bullets, Will. How many people do you think asked me, okay, when's it your turn?
I don't know, because you were texting us about the Green Bay basketball team.
Yeah.
Oh, that was after a few gins, yeah.
For you,
Door County Distillery gin, by the way.
For you to be in a spot where you're having a couple gins at a wedding, you're thinking, man, I wonder what the Green Bay Phoenix are.
No, I was looking at scores because I saw the Badgers were winning at that point. And I went and looked, and I said, oh my God, the Phoenix won a Division I basketball game.
The Phoenix crossing your mind is the problem. And I think
I get score alerts for every Wisconsin team.
Usually for me at a wedding when that happens, it's like, I should go dance.
Do you guys not get every Wisconsin team alerts?
No.
Oh, I do. I get every team that plays in the States alerts.
I get the ones I care about.
There is nothing professionally that would be assisted by me knowing the Green Bay Phoenix's score.
Except it is now filled 45 seconds of Mr. Irrelevant's Monday edition.
You realize that's because of you.
Well, Will brought it up. Right. I wasn't going to bring it up.
I could talk about the fact that I'm reading Infinite Jest. No one else would care.
How is it?
It's great. Wonderful book.
How many books have you read this year?
Not as many because I've read a lot of long books.
Cool.
I'm on my first one.
Oh, you have?
Of the year.
What are you reading?
I planned on reading a book every month, and I'm just like halfway through the first one right now.
I've surpassed the one a month mark. My goal was bigger.
What are you reading?
Reading Headlights by Matthew McConaughey. Or Greenlights, sorry. That's what it's called.
Matthew McConaughey wrote a book?
Yeah. I mean, everyone writes a book.
All right. I'd like to implement this every time we change topics, okay? So we're going to move on to Matt LaFleur and whether or not he's got a swagger back next. But before we do that, I would like everybody to help me with this. Are you ready?
No.
Skull.
I'm not doing it.
Skull. Skull. Skull.
I guess, yeah.
Skull. Thank you, Will. Come on, Josh.
Not doing
Skull.
It.
Skull. We're not moving until you do it.
Well,
skull.
We actually are moving skull. Until he does it.
Yeah. Skull.
I hope everyone looks forward to 40 minutes of you with your hands above your head doing the skull chant.
I really liked that yesterday. Thank you, Will. That's it. Good job. Oh, man.
Right before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to think back that I did that and cringe at myself.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Oh, you're going to do it 4 more times.
Okay. Then I'm going to cringe at myself.
Yeah, I'm correct. But you got a lot more to do before you cringe. All right, Joshy, Matt LaFleur, this has been the hill you have slept on. I don't want to say you died on it, but you have been sleeping on this hill all season.
I've put up a residency.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur has underperformed and contributed more than anybody else to this team's shortcomings now at 7-3-1. Yes? Fair?
Yes.
Yesterday seemed to be a really well-executed winning game plan by the head coach and the offensive play caller, yes?
I won't say that. I would say it has more to do with the quarterback on the other side than it does anything with Matt LaFleur. I understand why. Jordan Love, AC joint injury, not even handing off with his left hand. That plays a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Jacobs not being there plays a factor. I saw someone try and float Matthew Golden not being there a factor. Not the case. He's clearly not a focal point of the offense. What would it matter if he's out on the field or not? The one thing I will give him credit for, it seems like Christian Watson is being pushed ahead of Romeo Doubs in terms of targets and
which is good.
Point of the passing offense.
That's good.
That I will give credit for. That is clearly the right decision. You can't really blame him for not doing it sooner with Christian Watson because he's fine. He's like fully healthy now and getting back into the swing of things. So that to me was an obvious thing that needed to change. We saw it the past 2 weeks where there are kind of signs there. And now that's fully fledged what ended up happening. So kudos for that. You got a lead and you took advantage of one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen. So
we've ever seen.
I mean, I gave you the numbers.
You're not going to give him any credit for just coming out on the first drive and scoring a touchdown with an offense that wasn't the one we've seen the past couple weeks?
No, not particularly.
No Doubs targets, not a bunch of stupid runs.
And Emmanuel Wilson was finding efficient.
Yeah, they were finding Wicks, they were finding Watson.
It's a good point by Will.
They didn't start slow. They actually did something.
I mean, so...
It's a good point.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
You do it once out of 18 effing games, it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Like, it was a one-time thing. It's not a trend. There's nothing to take from it.
But you can give credit on a one-game sample size.
Hey, good job for doing your job one time this year, buddy. Like, what does that mean?
Well,
There's nothing here.
Well, hold on. I think you're just trying to be demeaning toward the point.
His job is to score touchdowns. He did it once for the first time in how many weeks?
That would have been good enough to win the game.
Hey, you showed up for work today. Good job, Schroff. You were here.
I think there's something to be said about it.
And also, timeout. The show started 7 minutes late.
Not your fault, though.
I think there's also something to be said about Matt LaFleur finding that stride this late in the year, though, right?
What stride?
If it carries over. I think this is the first time a second half offense has carried over to the first half for them this year.
It didn't carry over. The offense stalled. And then they took field goals.
That's fine.
Why would you try to?
But when he does it against the Browns, he gets.
He made a two possession game, a three possession game. At least that's improvement.
But when he's too aggressive against the Browns with the lead, everyone's coming at him. With the worst, JJ McCarthy is worse than, who was it, Joe Flacco at the time?
It was Joe Flacco at the time.
JJ McCarthy is worse.
Yeah. So the way I see it, he changed his second half strategy from a game that they lost in a similar situation to now a game that they won.
They ran the ball 42 times and it was a dominant win.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, you played the worst quarterback we've seen since Jamarcus Russell. I can't stress that enough.
Right, and then when he
the forward pass was a difficult process for him.
Hold on. We can get back to our debate.
I feel bad making fun of him.
Yeah, it's as bad as I've seen.
It's another entry into giving yourself a nickname never ends well.
That's true.
Playoff P.
But he completed what, like 60% of his passes still, and it was horrible.
Wow.
But that's my point, Josh. If you complete about 60% of your passes, typically you're at least going to have like a decent stat line.
He threw for
80 yards.
His on-target throw rate is like 45%. That's the lowest in the league, and the next lowest is Jacoby Brissett, who's like 55 or 60.
It's horrible. But I would mention, though, they do have four wins. It's not like they're defeated. It's not like they're going to be 0-16.
They also have a win against the Lions somehow.
He beat the Lions. Yeah. And he beat the Bears.
He
did. Wow.
His two best games have been divisional in the fourth quarter.
The Bears are the
only... Yeah, he's played, what, three good quarters, four good quarters?
Bears are the only team through 11 weeks in the NFL season to have a negative point differential and 8 wins.
They're also the only team in the NFC North to have 8 wins right now.
Record-breaking. They are doing...
Do you care about that stat, Will?
They're doing wins? Unprecedented things.
Yeah, I do care about wins.
No, the point differential.
No, I care about wins. Mm-hmm. Unless they don't have a lot of wins, then I'll care about the stats.
Then we care about draft picks.
Yeah. Like, the adjusted point differential thing where it shows you like who should have actually won the game? That like graphic? The Bears had the lowest. Like, the Bears should have lost that game yesterday, but I disregard that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't.
I mean, so. It was Mason Rudolph.
It was Mason Rudolph, and...
He actually played pretty well.
They did have a lead for the entire game, but it was almost a comeback for Pittsburgh.
The Bears ran out of linebackers, too. They legitimately did not have any linebackers left.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
They had three guys hurt coming into the game, and then Ruben Hippolyte, like the four-string linebacker, got hurt on the first drive. Ruben Hippolyte.
That's a sick name. Yeah. Ruben.
No.
You ever meet anybody named Ruben?
Yeah.
Me too. You, Josh? Know anybody named Ruben?
Nobody named Ruben sticks out. I'm sure I have.
Ruben Studdard, former winner of American Idol, I think.
Ruben, the famous sandwich?
One of the best sandwiches. Ruben, who I sat next to in sixth grade reading class. That's about all I got. And Ruben, what's his name? Hippolyte?
Ruben Hippolyte.
That's a sick name.
I'm going to have to go fact check his name. Sorry, I'm not really familiar with the fourth string linebackers, but I'm like 95% sure.
So wait, that might not even be his name.
No, it definitely is his name. I just didn't know Strofe was going to, I thought we were just going to glance over the fact that his name was Ruben.
I mean, if you're going to throw the name Ruben Hippolyte
at me. His name is
me,
Ruben Hippolyte.
I'm going to have to say something.
Ruben Hippolyte the second.
Wow, the second, junior.
Yeah.
Ruben Junior. All right. Let's get to the NFC North in a moment, but first, Will, Skull. Skull, 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 Joshy, skull, skull, skull. The NFC North looks wide open. It's a two-team race. Sorry, Will.
What a transition.
The Vikings are definitely out of it. Skull.
Skull.
The Packers and Lions have a huge one on Thursday. Lions win that game, it mucks it up even more. Packers win that game, they might eliminate the Lions from contention in terms of the North. I think they could still make the playoffs. And then the Bears, I'm still not buying. The way they finish the season is brutal.
I'm rooting for them to have as good of a season as possible and get smoked in the playoffs and then not have that good of a draft pick for it to make a difference.
It's fine.
I think that's a likely scenario.
Yeah.
At 8-3, it'd be really hard to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're getting there.
But their schedule is brutal the rest of the way. I think they maybe have one gimme win left.
The Browns have a quarterback now, apparently.
Yeah, that's true.
That was apparently the one gimme win.
That's right. That's exactly the game I'm referring
to. You'll beat the Browns.
At the Eagles on Friday, so short week, Black Friday game
Eagles
in Philly.
Eagles are upset.
They are upset. Yeah,
yeah,
after losing
angry
to Dallas. You got that pick right, by the way, in our NFL picks.
That's like the fourth time this guy's had just unbelievable comeback victories.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
It doesn't stop.
He made the wrong pick for three quarters.
He's done that like four times.
It was not close.
Huh? So at Eagles, at Packers, home against the Browns, home against the Packers, at the Niners, home against the Lions. That is the remaining stretch for the Chicago Bears, who are at 8-3. Impressive. But maybe two wins there puts them at 2-7. Maybe. Or 10-7, excuse me.
I was going to say, are we taking away wins now?
Reverse wins?
The hell happened?
10-7. And I don't know if 10-7 gets in the playoffs.
It probably doesn't.
It's close. It's close. And it
depends if the Lions keep losing.
That's the team I was about to bring up. And I think the Packers' path to win the North is very clear. It's wide open for me. But it really comes down to what happens on Thursday against Detroit, because that's going to make or break what the rest of the season looks like for Green Bay. But if they can sweep the Lions, get a mini bye, return home to play the Bears as you start the month of December, we're talking about a legitimate chance for home field advantage throughout a majority of the postseason for Green Bay. The odds look like this, according to our friends at Potawatomi Sportsbook. Bet above the rest at Potawatomi Sportsbook. Packers plus 145 to win the North. Detroit plus 150 to win the North. And the Bears, still nobody's buying the Bears, despite them being in first place for what now, the third week in a row? Plus 270. And then the Vikings are plus 50,000 to win the North. So, Joshy, two-team race?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at this point, the Bears simply have too many wins for us to completely discount them. I don't think they'll be there at the end. I think a loss for the Lions on Thursday effectively tanks their season. I think that's like soul-crushing, rip their heart out. They'll still be, you know, in the mix for it, but mm-hmm. that's not a team that can then go all the way.
No,
they've shown way too. I mean, they were in a dogfight with Jameis.
Yeah,
they were on the ropes.
He was catching passes.
He's breaking tackles. What was that? You got to cut that guy,
Jameis.
You let Jameis Winston break a tackle on you.
Yeah, that's done deal.
Hit the road, Jack.
And as a cornerback, allowed like 300 passing yards from him without like his top two offensive weapons.
I was really hoping they'd get the job done.
Jameer Gibbs just had like an all-time game.
Yeah, if they would have just kicked the damn field goal.
200 all-purpose yards.
More than that. I think it was to over 250.
Yeah, I was just saying 200 in terms of like... Most guys don't get to 200. Celebrated. Emmanuel Wilson.
He's the first guy to cross the century mark in rushing yards this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was unbelievable. I think the Packers and Lions are kind of on the same plane here, and if the Packers are able to win, then I mean they're pretty much in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
You could obviously still lose to the Bears, which would be extremely Packers thing to do.
It would be.
Go out and light it up against the Lions and then crap the bed.
Yeah, crap the bed on a mini buy after a mini buy.
Yeah.
Look, we'll obviously talk a lot more about what's coming up on Thursday on Wednesday's edition of Mr. Relevant, but I'm so fired up for this. With Josh Jacobs likely coming back and then getting the mini bye to rest, I assume you probably don't have Jaden Reed Thursday yet. I think he comes back for that Bears game at the beginning of December. But you're healthy. Love didn't really take any hits yesterday. Gets a couple days to rest that shoulder, and they are going to throw the ball more than they did yesterday on Thursday. I can guarantee you that. But you'll have Jacobs. Emmanuel Wilson looks terrific. He's been awesome for this team this year and proves it again in a starting spot. So big props to Emmanuel Wilson, a guy who just 3 years ago, not even 2 years ago, I was doubting getting the football, has turned into a legitimate, really good number two running back for this team, which is awesome. So I'm excited to see what Thursday looks like, but we'll dive into that more coming up on Wednesday's edition. But time now.
Okay.
Skull. 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 Skull.
We have an hour to do this program, and you've now wasted more than a minute of it doing the same thing for the third time.
Time now for Stock Up, Stock Down, where we take a look at individual players or coaches or people and whether or not their stock is going up or it is going down, coming off of a Week 12 victory over the Minnesota Vikings 23-6 for the Green Bay Packers. Let's get this party started.
Stock Up.
Yeah, my guy Matt LaFleur, winning game plan yesterday. Took the air out of the ball, is what he called it post-game. Just run Emmanuel Wilson, get first downs, take time off the clock, and don't give the Vikings an opportunity. They didn't do that. And Matt LaFleur admitting, you know, we kind of are a defensive first team. So when they got a lead and we're getting down to the wire and it's 20-6 and then 23-6, you're forcing what Josh has called many times the worst quarterback since Jamarcus Russell to throw the football. The Packers defense forced some turnovers, two of them, in fact, in the second half. It's a really good game plan by Matt LaFleur and got what looked like a pretty easy victory at Lambeau Field after losing each of the last two games at home to Carolina and Philadelphia. Good to get back on the winning side of things at home and good to get another divisional win the second of the year. Packers now 2-0 in NFC North play. And I think a lot of that thanks to the head coach, Matt LaFleur.
Stock up.
Worst stock up in the history of the sport. Emmanuel Wilson is my stock up. I think he's probably a guy who should be more featured in the offense, more of a change of pace. I don't think he was particularly incredible or particularly special, but I do think he came in a spot where you needed somebody at least to be serviceable, and he did just that. The first touchdown was impressive. I mean, he met a guy in the hole and just went right through him to get into the end zone. Plenty good to be a guy that should be a change of pace. Who knows? Maybe Josh Jacobs would be better if we didn't give him the ball as often. And he could maybe be a little bit healthier heading into the second half of the season. And special shout out to Chris Brooks, who also PFF graded out as one of the top three players for the Packers.
That's
yesterday.
My guy. That's
the top
guy.
Four. Yeah.
It wasn't as big of a Chris Brooks game as I thought it was going to be.
No, he played 24 snaps, though, which
good.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, I think he had two. Yeah, last week he had two.
Yeah. And when Jacobs has been healthy, he hasn't played a ton.
Yeah.
He played a lot in that Washington game.
Yes.
And I don't know if Emmanuel Wilson was hurt maybe or something that happened. Or maybe they just liked the matchup with a lot of pass rush because he's a really good pass blocker as a running back. But he has not played that much definitely since the Washington game. Probably the most he's played since last year.
I would bet this game almost doubled his snaps for the season.
Probably.
Yeah.
You're probably right about that. So that is a stock up. Let's stay positive.
Stuck up.
Second game in a row with an INT. We talked about it before the season. This was a guy who I've just said, I think he's got the potential to turn into a real defensive star for this team. And I think that narrative has only continued this season. Like I mentioned, he got the game-sealing interception in New York against famous Jameis and got effectively a game-sealing end-of-game interception against J.J. McCarthy yesterday. But other than that, he seems to be in the right spot almost always. He seems to have a knack to getting to the ball, an eye for the ball, and he's just a good safety. And it's something we've talked about many times before over the course of the last few years, but adding Xavier McKinney and then adding Evan Williams in the draft, you haven't felt really good about this team's safety position in years and years and years, except the last two, when McKinney came to town, and ultimately as Evan Williams continues to grow only in his second year. This is a good team. This is a good safety group. And Evan Williams is a big part of that, so stock up. It's number 33, Evan Williams.
In addition to that, I think he needs to be a never-come-off-the-field player. He rarely comes off now, but when Hobbs was healthy and they were trying to do the both him and Bullard playing, and he needs to be the 100% of the time safety next to Xavier McKinney.
I agree.
There's no need to take that guy off the field.
No need. He's that good of a ball player. I totally agree with you.
Stock up.
Anthony Belton. He came in. I mean, Jordan Morgan straight up whiffed on that goal line run, just missed his guy, which is hard to do in the condensed, in a goal-to-goal situation. And then he came in, and he was moving people. It's a big boy in there who's making big-time plays. So I thought that was cool to see. Basically, the depth there you're starting to feel a lot better with, especially if Jordan Morgan is just simply your swing tackle. I wouldn't be discouraged by Jordan Morgan getting benched. I think he is the future at left tackle once they move on from Rashid Walker.
Well, let's go negative and let's talk about Jordan Morgan.
Stock down.
Obviously, to Jordan Morgan, who was benched in the second quarter of that game. As Joshie just mentioned, Anthony Belton comes in. You said it at the top of the show. You think Jordan Morgan is a tackle who they're trying to force to play guard, and you think Anthony Belton is a guard they forced to play tackle. Now, obviously, they changed that yesterday. Yep. They put Anthony Belton in at right guard. Jordan Morgan was one of the highest ranked, and this obviously comes with quite an asterisk, but I will say it. He was voted the highest ranked, I think, PFF grade, left tackle in the preseason. Because Rashid Walker was hurt for most of the preseason, so he got a ton of reps at left tackle when he was still in that competition. Ultimately, Rashid Walker won it in, I don't know, 13 minutes once he returned from his injury. And they've wanted to get Morgan on the field for obvious reasons. First-round pick. He's a guy you put heavy draft compensation into. He's paid well. And athletically, you think the ceiling's high. But he just hasn't been able to cut it at right guard. So you go big boys in the middle of your offensive line now, from left to right, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, guard to guard. That is some beef in the middle of that Packers offensive line. And it worked against his Vikings defense. Now we'll see how it looks against Detroit, assuming they stop doing the rotational BS they've done for the last 2 years.
I got a feeling we'll see Jordan Morgan out right
now. I think you're right. I agree. But that's the frustrating thing for me, is because they keep doing this rotational crap. They've done it for 2 years now. And it just...
I think it's three, because didn't it go back to... They were doing that at left tackle with...
Rashid and... Who had it? Would it have been Yash Nyman?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. So 3 years. And I mean, look, we are lucky at ESPN Wisconsin to have a lot of former really good offensive linemen that work with us, including Brian Bulaga, who joined us in person in Green Bay yesterday for Green Bay Game Day, a little bit of it. And of course, Mark Tauscher, 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch, who were both excellent right tackles with the Packers for years and years. The word that you hear offensive linemen always use to describe strengths of the unit is continuity. The continuity of the unit. By rotating people in and out of the lineup as the game flow continues, as the game goes on, you can't build continuity. You can't build chemistry that way if you're changing who your five are. So I just wish they would leave it alone and put the five they have the most confidence out there in the first quarter and keep it that way through the end of the fourth quarter. That would be the ideal world to live in, but maybe beggars can't be choosers. I don't know. But that's where I'm at on that. If you think Belton is the better option right guard like you did yesterday against Minnesota, start him in Detroit and don't change it. Don't go to Jordan Morgan unless there's an injury. It should be that simple. But as Josh has said many times, and as I learned, Josh is wiser and smarter than me. The Packers always got to do it the hard way to find out what the right answer is. Did I quote
you?
Did I quote you right there?
Mostly. Packers learned the lesson the hard way is the way I've deemed it. But you got it. You said the same thing. Stock down Romeo Doubs. I said it last week. I'm sick of him. He's been too much of a focal point of the offense. This week, he had only 3 targets, 2 receptions, 23 yards. That was basically a flip-flop of Christian Watson, who had 7 targets, 5 receptions, and 49 yards. I think that the offense is going to be so much better run through Christian Watson instead of Romeo Doubs. I mean, the level of explosion just pops off the screen in terms of difference-making. Dontavian Wicks had 4 targets, 2 receptions, 32 yards. Like, I mean, say what you will about Wicks, that guy makes some plays.
Yeah.
And Romeo Doubs seemed to have seen his focal point of the offense and the first read. I think if you want to use Romeo Doubs, it's 3rd and 6, and he'll get you 7 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, I don't think there's much use for him in an offense you hope is going to achieve higher things.
I like it. All right, we've got a couple more to hit. Let's fire through these.
This one Stuck is what up. Was making me laugh.
John Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
He's the starting tight end, and I pretty much it's the only thing I had to say about
one for 11.
Yeah, it's not from a receiving perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
it's more so he outsnapped the other two guys heavily in Josh Wiley and Luke Musgrave. It's very clear he's going to be their top tight end and the guy that gets the most opportunity on the field, no matter what the situation is, whether that's pass catching or blocking or whatever, run blocking.
I think he's going to outsnap Luke Musgrave. I don't know if he's going to continue to see more targets.
I like the Wiley Coyote, man. That's a big boy. 6'7", 250, Josh Wiley.
This feels like one of those guys that we are going to remember when they do, who did Jordan Love throw touchdown passes to? We're going to have to remember Josh Wiley's name for the year 2025.
You have to remember John Fitzpatrick's, too. He caught one earlier in the year. We will see. We will see. But John Fitzpatrick is my stock up. Is my stock up. We're getting hearts at the window from our friends Luis and Sarah from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Love it. One more stock up.
Stock up.
I think Josh, you kind of just alluded to this one.
Yeah, it's Christian Watson.
Yeah.
He deserves the opportunity. He, and we talked about Jen Gabe and Chewy this morning, Gabe and I, he is doing like real wide receiver stuff. For a while, he was the big, explosive, deep route guy, sort of more of a one-trick pony. He was making catches on the sideline, running crisper routes. He, to me, has developed in a way that we haven't seen the other wide receivers for the Packers develop in year 3. I don't think Romeo Doubs has taken really any sort of step. He's kind of been the same guy since he got it going. So I think Christian Watson is going to continue to progress. He's going to continue to be a bigger part of the offense, and that to me is going to eventually lead to more big plays.
All right, we've got a couple bonus ones to get to. Let's start with Will. You have a stock up.
Stock up?
Yeah, Isaiah McDuffie wearing the green dot, stepping in for Quay Walker. They talked about it a lot on the broadcast, how it's a guy who plays like 12 snaps a game, yet is still a captain. And I thought he stepped up in a big way. He had that sack with Warren Brinson and then that big interception. That was mostly forced by Rashawn Gary, but nice to see him get a little bit of payoff there.
He's such a fascinating player to me.
Yeah, agreed.
At times he has like such brilliant play, and then other times you're like, oh buddy, where are you going? There was none of that yesterday.
Mm-mm.
But it seems like he's a guy who has very up and down play, but he seems to be obviously a leader that the guys really like appreciate having around.
I think it's a good point by Will, though, that the green dot portion of this. Walker out of yesterday's game, obviously, with that injury he's been dealing with, but he became your defensive quarterback, effectively. And the defense was awesome in yesterday's game, only allowing 6 points to Minnesota, all of which came in the first half. And then they started turning over McCarthy because they forced him to throw, so that was good. I've got one more, but I'm actually confused on whether this is a stock up or a stock down, so I'm just going to let you play one of the two buttons or both.
Stock down.
Up. Very good.
Stock
up.
Stock down. Stock down.
To skull chance. Like, I think it's up for the Packers, but it's down for the Vikings. Skull. Did you see the entire crowd get into that? They needed no warning.
The Packers defense. This happens all the time against the Vikings, though.
I don't know that I've ever seen it, but I'm not watching a lot of Vikings games unless they're playing
the Packers. It's never happened in Lambeau that way.
It's come back to bite him in the butt.
You know, you see Javon Bullard and Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams and Isaiah McDuffie and Edron Cooper all wind up in that end zone, and they look to the crowd and start doing the school thing, and everybody in the section in front of them starts participating in it. So I don't know if it's a stock up or a stock down, but it was just a very memorable moment from the Packers 23-6 win over the Minnesota Vikings. That's Stock Up, Stock Down on this Monday edition of Mr. Relevant. Let us know what we missed. Let us know what you think. Whose stock is heading up? Whose stock is going down? And this stock is always going up. It's a Monday staple on this program. Will Summers is a shining star. And I don't know if he's a long-lost child or grandchild of Chris Berman, but man, he sure sounds like it sometimes. It is time now for the signature. Will Summers, Weekend in Review.
What?
What?
Let's start in Green Bay, where the Packers hosted the Vikings for an NFC North showdown. Emmanuel Owen Wilson had the Vikings defense saying,
"Wow,"
as he ran one in from 1 yard out to give the Packers a 7-3 lead. In the second quarter, McMahon Class was back in session, as he had a 32-yard field goal to give the Packers a 10-3 lead. Despite netting 2 field goals over 50 yards in the first half, Will Reichharden is lucky it doesn't look like he'll get the chance to underperform in the playoffs, as the Vikings trailed the Packers 10-6 at halftime. It was a rough day for 9, as his number was half of his QBR, and while JJ named his son Roe Micah McCarthy, it was Micah who made JJ his son on Sunday, as he sacked him twice. Daniel Steering Whelan positioned a perfect punt that was muffed by the Vikings and recovered by the Packers, setting them up at the Minnesota 5-yard line. 2 plays later, Emmanuel Owen Wilson had everyone saying,
"Wow,"
again,
"Wow,"
as he ran in his second touchdown of the day to give the Packers a 17-6 lead. After 2 more McManus field goals, Rashawn Scary intimidated JJ into throwing an interception to Isaiah McDuff. Gee, JJ sucks. After a quick Packers 3-and-out, JJ served up another interception to Evan Serena Williams, making that a game-set match Packers 23-6 win.
Wow.
Now let's head over to Chicago to check on the first place. Yes, you heard that right. First place Chicago Bears. DJ Four swung first at the Steelers' defense with a 5-yard touchdown catch from Caleb Williams, while on the ensuing drive, the Steelers responded with BK Metcalf scoring a whopper of a touchdown, running it in from 6 yards out to tie the game up at 7. After a Caleb Williams fumble in the end zone led to a Steelers touchdown and a DeAndre Swift fumble, the Bears would respond as Colson Lovestrand wasn't splitting hairs with a 12-yard touchdown catch. Even though the Steelers don't play any more international games, it was Jalen Foran running it in from 1 yard out to give the Steelers a 21-14 lead before the half. Down 21-17 in the third, Caleb Williams caught the Steelers sleeping as he found DJ Snore for a 25-yard touchdown pass to give the Bears a 24-21 lead.
Wow.
In the fourth, Kyle Manun-Tai padded the lead with a touchdown run to make it 31-21 Bears. But the fat lady had not sung yet as Pat Quiermuth caught a 3-yard touchdown pass to bring the Steelers within 3. With a chance at a game-tying drive, Mason Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, didn't have his Christmas magic quite yet and turned the ball over on downs to give the Bears a 31-28 win, moving them to 8-3. With your Will's Week in Review, I'm Will Summers.
Wow. The fat lady didn't sing Pat Quiermuth. That was my favorite. That was the most impressive one today.
Thank you.
That was well done. Will's Week in Review here on Mr. Irrelevant. Always a little bit of mixture of ridiculous and hilarious. Huh. All right, well, there you go. Yeah, Bears in first place of the NFC North at 8-3. Packers right behind them at 7-3-1, and the Lions right behind them at 7-4. And then it's the Minnesota Vikings at 4-7 in the basement of the NFC North. But although we don't want to give credit to the Vikings, especially after what we witnessed them do against Green Bay yesterday, 23-6, Minnesota has the most wins of any last-place team in their division.
I'm happy for them.
4-7 is the best last-place record in the NFL. Cleveland at 3-8, Arizona at 3-8, also right there. But there you go. Yeah. So Minnesota, not very good. When it comes to Detroit and Green Bay, that comes up Thursday. We will preview that game coming up on Wednesday. And then, as Will, I think we mentioned a little bit earlier, it's Bears-Eagles on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get to next Sunday, we will have a better idea. In fact, we can get to Saturday. By the time we get to Minnesota, Wisconsin, who, by the way, got a ranked win over the weekend at Camp Brown Stadium, By the time we get to that game on Saturday, we will have a much better idea of what the NFC North looks like as we enter the month of December. And it's a fascinating division. It's not as top-heavy as it was a year ago, where you're going to have multiple 13, 14, 12-win teams. But you do clearly have three teams that are vying for positioning in the playoffs, that are going to be representing the NFC North in the playoffs. Maybe not all three of them, but Green Bay certainly looks the part. Depending on the day, Detroit looks the part. And Chicago just keeps finding ways to win, even though it's against typically bad teams. We'll see how their season ends up. But if they're able to win three games the rest of their way, they're going to be a playoff team. So it's fascinating to see. All right, we wrap up the show with this always. It's time now for What We Missed and What We Learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery. I mentioned a Door County Distillery gin on display in Sheboygan at the wedding I was at on Saturday. Love the gin. Love their bourbon because it's bourbon season. It's always bourbon season. Who am I kidding? Bourbon season. They've got brandies. They've got vodkas. They've got rums. As I mentioned, they've got gins and whiskeys. Whatever you need to elevate your Thanksgiving, it's coming up. Who's in charge of the old fashions? Make sure you're picking it up. Door County Distillery is available all over the state of Wisconsin, wherever great booze is sold. You can also check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com, find the retailer nearest you, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes, many of which are festive. You can like find like Thanksgiving-related recipes for your cocktails. Spice it up on Thanksgiving and this weekend. doorcountydistillery.com is the website. Wisconsin Badgers. They get a ranked win over the weekend. I did not watch a lick of it. Joshy, did you? I know you had Friendsgiving on Saturday.
Yeah, I watched a decent portion of it. They dominated them on defense, and their run game worked. It was impressive to see that the team has clearly not quit on Luke Fickell.
Which is good.
Yes, which is great. I think the multiple statements and all the attention Luke Fickell's gotten and the fans chanting fire Fickell has probably galvanized them around him. It for a team where I expected to have zero wins, additional wins, I should say, in the Big Ten, it's been impressive to see them sort of get things going in the right way. I still don't think they're any good, but they played a good game, and it was an impressive showing for Luke Fickell and the crew.
Shout out Luke Fickell. When you lower the expectations as low as he did, and then you can storm the field twice and back-to-back, well, no, they skip a week, right? It was a 1 week.
They lost to
back-to-back home games.
Yeah, back-to-back home
games. You can storm the field. That's awesome.
They lost to Indiana.
No one remembers the wins. They just remember the field storming.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it in a year like this.
But like, I think it's right that the Badgers do storm the field against a ranked opponent.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, having. But like, shout out Luke Fickell for lowering the expectations so that they could do that twice this season.
Okay.
Like if Wisconsin was a 4-win team going into both of those and they win, you're not storming the field. But because they were so bad, they got to storm the field twice in
That's
the season.
True.
How many times did they storm the field last year?
Probably zero if I was a betting man.
So that's a win on the season, I'm calling.
Yeah, look, but I mean, for those students who have not seen good football.
I mean, credit to them for sticking around.
And going to the game still. And obviously that's a big thing. It's still Madison. It's still a Saturday. It's still a wild time. But to actually get to experience that, if you're a senior, say, you've seen only bad football the entire time you've been at Wisconsin. And that's disappointing. So a win's a win's a win. But against Illinois, against Brett Bielema, carries a little bit more stakes. But does this turn things around? Does this make you feel like this is an 8-win team now all of a sudden next year? No, I don't think so. But we'll see. They claim there's going to be more investment. So hopefully they're able to keep the guys like Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano. Darryl Peterson, by the way, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, had 3 sacks on Luke Altmyer on Saturday. It's a big win for Wisconsin. It's a good win for Wisconsin. Does it mean anything? I don't know. But winning the Axe this weekend, Minnesota only 2.5-point favorites, would be a good exclamation point on what was a pretty bad season. But to finish at 5-7 with the Axe would be good. All that aside, Joshy, everybody needs to know, how was Friendsgiving?
It was fine. It was probably the most elaborate Friendsgiving. I don't know if I sent you guys any of the pictures.
You didn't.
There were personalized napkins with names embroidered on them.
On napkins?
Yep. There was...
Do they even do that at weddings?
There was...
No.
Personalized matchbooks for everyone to take that had our house on it and Friendsgiving 2025.
Wait, matchbooks as in like matches?
Yep.
For candles?
Yep. or Siggy's.
Did you guys get married?
Nope. There was...
How much money was spent on this Friendsgiving?
I have no idea. Probably too much. More than I would like to know.
Okay.
There was personalized vintage glasses, vintage shot glasses, that were little nods to each person's own life, and things that have happened. There was personalized name tags with everyone's pets that they had that were featured on them. There was more food than you could ever imagine. There were specific drinks. There was all sorts. There was espresso martini. There was old fashioned, and they were batch made beforehand. Bee's knees and a margarita. It was over the top.
Are you sure you didn't get married?
Positive. I didn't
like
sign.
Not even like accidentally.
I didn't sign anything, which is crucial.
That is. That's true. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm still hung up on the custom matchbooks and napkins. And
I do follow people on social media that were doing similar like customizable gifts at these Friendsgivings.
That's too much. That's too much.
I was saying from day one it was too much.
Well, I know you were, but I didn't realize it was this much.
I didn't realize how much it was until I saw the setup. And like, wow.
As long as she's happy, you know, but...
So was the event itself actually
this
enjoyable?
Was spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars were spent on this.
Yes.
If not thousands.
No, not thousands. I mean, you can get stuff custom made pretty cheap.
How much were the vintage glasses?
Oh, like $3.
Okay.
$4.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Antiques on Pierce and just kind of shifted it around. Like, it wasn't all that expensive.
It's just elaborate.
Yeah, I mean, it was way more than I had ever anticipated.
You got any leftover matchboxes?
Yes, but probably not one I want to give to you. You weren't there.
So what?
True.
I want to feel included.
Nope.
I was still pretty mad at you for not inviting us, but it's fine.
I didn't invite a single person.
So you just showed up?
Showed up. Well, no. I cleaned. I cleaned some more. I helped set up. I did all the cleaning after the fact. So, yeah, I committed a lot of labor.
Doesn't sound very fun.
Oh, man.
Did everybody so in the house, everybody who came, I did their dishes except for like two people.
So, success or unsuccessful?
It was a great success. Would I have preferred not to have to do all the stuff before and after? Yes.
Well, of course.
Did I have a good time during it? Yes.
Good. All right. Will, what did we miss?
I was dealing with some technical difficulties, so we're going to have to halt. I heard you guys, from my parents actually, that you guys had a funny happening on Friday with the new words rule.
Yeah, so I produced the show on Friday. I sat where you're sitting.
My parents were driving to meet me in Oklahoma, and they were telling me that, because they were listening to the show, they were telling me about your kerfuffle. I don't know if that's a good word for it.
I think that's a fine word for it. Nicely done. No, I have the two words that I used on Friday.
That's fine.
So one of the words was ornate.
I could spell it.
Go ahead.
O-R-N-A-T-E.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's correct.
Ornate. Ornate. Josh, say it. I want to hear you say it.
I said the carpeting of ballrooms are ornate.
Okay. Country of origin?
Don't know. Probably Latin.
This isn't the spelling
bee. Extravagant.
Yeah, pretty close.
It's better than I did.
Yeah. Ornate's definition is made in intricate shape or decorated with complex patterns.
That's extravagant.
Here's the thing.
I was thinking of the movie theater carpets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right idea. The other one, I don't even remember what the context was, and I don't remember what the answer was.
It was the same exact.
Oh, sconces?
Ornate carpeting with sconces on the wall.
Oh, sconces. I do remember what those are now. Yeah, sconces.
S-C-O-N-C-I-S? C-I-S?
Oh, close. C-E-S. Any idea what they are? Because I still don't.
Sconces.
I remember what he said, but I don't know that it's true.
Convoluted shapes on the wall or something like that?
Not really.
Turning and twisting.
No. Sconces are
like lamps?
Light fixtures. Yeah. Fancy light fixtures that you put on the wall. They're not really made to be like a primary light, like above our heads. They're more made for decorative mood lighting type.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you.
Had a pleasure today.
Wow. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Nicely done, Owen Wilson, to discuss Packers-Lions coming up Thursday at Ford Field in Detroit. Big one for the NFC North on the line. Will with me. Skull.
Skull.
Skull. Joshy? Skull.
Josh.
Josh.
Boring. He's not ornate.
He is not ornate. I agree with you on that. We'll talk to you on Wednesday at 12:30 Central. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube as well as the podcast, which you can get commercial free as always. ESPN Milwaukee.
What a drive-by.
Spotify, Apple Podcast, ESPN Wisconsin app. If you search Mr. Relevant, it'll be the first thing that pops up. If you haven't already, please hit subscribe on that so you never miss an episode. We post things on Tuesdays and Thursdays in that feed that you can't get anywhere else. So make sure you subscribe. Apple Podcast, Spotify, the ESPN Wisconsin app. We will talk to you Wednesday, 12:30 Central. Talk to you then. Peace.
Wow.
For Evan Williams, who, I mean,